It's time for Howlers and Growlers. A weekly show from our Arizona Coyotes writing pack, bringing you the latest news, rumors, trades, player grades, prospects, and much more. And much more. And much more. From training camp to the playoffs, from draft day to the trade deadline, our team covers everything ice hockey in the hot desert. So sit back, grab your favorite cold beverage, and get ready for Howlers and Growlers.
Welcome to Howlers and Growlers. I'm your host, Haynes Evans, and we are thrilled to have you join our show tonight. Without me tonight is my colleague and line mate from the Hockey Writers, Pat Brown, who is currently at tonight's Coyotes game against the Toronto Maple Leafs, which is about to begin shortly. So he is not with us tonight, but nevertheless, join me tonight from the Hockey Writers, social media manager, Montreal's Canadiens writer, and host of Chicks and Sticks, Melissa Boyd. How are you, Melissa?
How are you, Haynes? Nice to be on the show.
Thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. And also join me tonight, prospects guru, Vancouver Canucks credential writer, our producer, and emergency backup goalie of sorts, Matthew Sator. Matthew, how are you tonight?
Doing good. Always ready to step in as the emergency goaltender, and that's what I am today. So I'm the David Ayers of this.
I'm about to say, you're our Dave Ayers, but you're my Dave Ayers, man. You fill in for me all the time. But nevertheless, thank y'all for joining me tonight. I really do appreciate it. So before we begin, we have a tradition here on the show. We need to start off with our beverage of choice. I will plug us first here for happy hour tonight. I apparently only have like six drinks in my rotation, so I probably have had this before, but I am drinking an Ace pineapple cider. Y'all probably seen on the show, you're probably wondering when I'm going to get something new. I will never get something new. It'll probably just be the same six drinks being rotated. What about you, Melissa? What are you drinking tonight?
I didn't get the memo about the drinking. I mean, we drink on Chicks and Sticks on occasion, but I was just drinking some water. I won't show you that.
What brand water? What brand water?
Water, if you can believe it. But next time I'm on, I will bring my drink.
Apologies. Sounds good. We will definitely have to have you back on. And Matthew, we know you got some Christmas stash right here on the foot show. What do you got for us tonight?
Well, I have some Cinzano left over from Christmas, so that's what I've got. It's awesome. 15% alcohol, so I will not be drinking a lot of it right now. So
yeah, maybe don't go through tonight's bottle the episode. awesome. Now let's talk some hockey, why don't we? So it was reported Sunday by Craig Morgan that the Coyotes currently do not have the votes in the Tempe City Council to approve their $1.7 billion arena and entertainment district proposal. As we know, the team has yet to make any sort of announcement as well on where they plan to play next season, as Glendale has decided to end their lease this past year with this upcoming season. With the Tempe City Council meeting scheduled for tomorrow night, actually, how crucial is it for the Coyotes to get Tempe on board? Melissa, we'll start off with you here. What do you think about this?
Yeah, well, I think it is important. I mean, from what I gather, there aren't many other options. I know they were looking at playing at, you know, perhaps one of the football stadiums and whatnot, yep. But it seems like they're running out of room here. So I think it's going to be obviously a big meeting, and hopefully they can make at least something positive comes out of it, at least for them, because yeah, it seems to be that dark cloud that just keeps, you know, lingering over their heads. It's tough.
Yeah, no. And it, you know, it seems like we've said before, this team can't seem to catch a break in anything. It seems anytime that something starts to lean in the right directions, with Sahara betting just starting to favor the Coyotes, can't wait to see how that turns out with the revenue they're going to generate. But Matthew, what do you think of all this? How crucial do you think it is that the Coyotes get Tempe on board with their arena proposal?
Well, it's huge. I mean, the drama just doesn't seem to stop with this stuff. I mean, arena deals keep falling through. The NHL keeps having to step in to financially to help the Coyotes. It's just a mess. And it's huge. I mean, this has got to happen. I mean, they got to get Tempe on board. Just get an arena done. This entertainment district, from what I've seen, looks amazing. I mean, this is going to benefit the city. I mean, come on. Hey, why don't you just get it done? Get hockey as a regular thing in Arizona, because they got some great, we'll talk about prospects coming. They got some great talent coming up. This team's going to be exciting to watch. Get something established. That's all I have to say about it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. They really need to get something situated. But let's actually stay on here on topic for a quick second. As you know, the Coyotes recently had a whole saga going on, failing to pay dues due to Glendale. The Coyotes did get those paid on time. They are secured through Glendale through the end of the season. But does the team recently failing to pay those dues on time, does that have any impact on the city of Tempe's decision? What do you think? I'll let you go first here, Matthew.
Yeah, that's going to throw a wrench into things. I mean, you know, in anything, when you're to get a loan or whatever, you know, that history of not paying is going to come. I mean, you know, coming into a new deal, it's like, are you going to pay us eventually or not? I mean, yeah, it's going to throw something. It's going to make people second guess. I mean, it would for me. So,
yeah. No, it's definitely a big decision there. I mean, it's definitely, I mean, when you have a guy like Alex Morello owning your team, you would think that missing payments would be something he doesn't do with how much money he makes. But what do you think about this, Melissa? Do you think that the Coyotes failing to pay dues on time has any sort of impact on what the city of Tempe decide to do here?
Yeah, well, I agree. I think it does. I mean, you know, that's it. When you go to the bank and you ask for money, you know, they check that stuff. But I think it's going to be that they're going to have to, you know, reassure them and sort of, I don't know if it's present a plan, some kind of business plan, like this is how much revenue we anticipate coming in, this kind of thing. So to maybe reassure them, but I agree. But, you know, I when that story came out about unpaid feels, I have to say, I was surprised because I thought this situation was figured out. Like I thought we weren't going to be going here again. So I was a little bit like,
we did too.
Put off. Yeah. Like I thought we had gone past the saga. And so it is, yeah, I agree. I think they're going to have to sort of do a good sell job here to convince them that yes, we're financially stable and we're, you know, committed to this team and to this city, and for sure.
Yeah, I agree there. That's great insight. And one more question here on the subject before we switch over to the next. Depending on what happens here tomorrow night and with the city of Tempe's city council meeting, what are the team's next steps if Tempe were to fall through? If they do not agree to a plan tomorrow night, what are the Coyotes' next steps? Because as of right now, the Coyotes don't seem to have much of a backup plan if Tempe falls through, considering they haven't named an arena for next season. So I'll let you go first here, Melissa. What do you think happens? What are the Coyotes' next plans if the Tempe deal falls through?
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't know if there are other options that they've been looking at, as I mentioned, like the stadiums and other stadiums and things like that. I mean, I guess that's an option.
Chase Field, Diamondbacks.
Exactly. Yeah.
One of their leading candidates is right now, from what I've
heard. I would guess that that's where they would go next. And otherwise, I mean, I guess, you know, you'd check in with Gary Bettman and say, well, what do we do?
Seems to be the scapegoat for this team a lot of the time.
Well, I was going to say he's like their best friend, you know. So
oh, yeah. That's Uncle Gary to the Coyotes fans.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Uncle Gary, yeah.
I couldn't agree more there. But, Pat, what do you think? I'm curious to know what you think here. If the deal falls through, what do you think the Coyotes' next steps are?
Well, like Melissa said, it's just have to look at other stadiums that could, you know, take them on. It's like I say, it's a tough situation. This is something that no other NHL team has to deal with. Yeah. You know, oh, we don't have an arena for next year. I mean, imagine that. You know, and there's not a lot of options. Like here in Vancouver, you could go, okay, we'll go Pacific Coliseum. You got a few other arenas around, but you know, it's so tough, this situation as a whole with not knowing where you're going to play next year. It's it's tough. And, you know, you're looking at, you know, there's going to be places they will play. I mean, they will play somewhere. It's just eventually, you know, where, and, you know, you're asking Gary Bettman, and he'll probably figure something out. He loves Arizona. He wants this to succeed for some reason.
We might put his name on the Stanley Cup if we win one day. I mean, Gary Bettman might be on owner. It might have to be.
He just loves this market. For some reason, he thinks something can happen eventually. And hopefully it does, because, I mean, there are some good fans in Arizona. And, you know, they may not fill stadiums all the time, but there are some fan base. So hopefully he can get something done. And like I said, it's a bright future here and, you know, on the team with the prospects coming up. So I hope there's fans that can actually appreciate them. So
I agree there. I think in closing remarks here, I think you both hit the nail on top of the head there. I think, and even if this deal falls through, Glendale, while it may not be an option, something could end up being struck between the two teams for a year. But I do agree. The Coyotes, I think right now, if something falls through tomorrow, need to maybe start panicking a little bit more than they maybe have before. But at the same time, I don't believe Gary's going to let this team leave. He believes in hockey in Arizona. He brought hockey to Arizona. I don't think he's going to pull hockey from Arizona. But that's great insights there. I appreciate y'all both. That was great insight. So let's move along here, actually, and let's talk about some less Coyotes arena and just drama in general with the team. So as we know, the NHL All-Star Game right around the corner, and the league just announced the head coaches for the All-Star Game coming up. Tomorrow they are going to announce the final rosters for the All-Star Game. The Coyotes currently had three players who were nominees to be selected. It was Shane Gostisbehere, Bill Kessel, and Clayton Keller. So I just want y'all's initial thoughts on all three. If only one were to make it, who do you think deserves a nomination here? Quick little stat aside, Clayton Keller, as we know, having himself a career year, 12 goals, team lead, and 14 assists in 33 games. Shane Gostisbehere is having a resurgence of a season down here in the desert, 6 goals and 17 assists in 33 games a season. And Kessel, who will probably be gone by the deadline, currently leads the team with 18 assists. So we're going to go here first with you, Matthew. What are your thoughts on all three? And if one were to make it, or two, but realistically, if one were to make it, who do you think gets the nomination here?
Well, I mean, I've said in the past with Kessel, I don't think he's, I mean, yes, he has 18 assists, but he hasn't really been the dominant form that you'd say all-star. So I'm already saying no for him. Yeah. But between Keller and Gostisbehere, it's a tough choice.
It is.
We're going to talk about Keller next and more about him, so I won't go too much into it. But, you know, they're both have merits to be all-stars. But for me, I'm going Gostisbehere. Just with what he's done, his resurgence, he's probably going to be a guy that's going to be at the deadline traded as well. But I mean, this is a guy that's had to go through a few hard things in Philadelphia with, you know, being healthy scratch, his role being lessened from, you know, the ghost. You know, he was a big deal in Philly for a while there. And it's great to see him being a top type defenseman again. So for me, it's Gostisbehere all day.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. I think I'll go real fast here. I think Gostisbehere is great defenseman. I think he's really turned his career around, and I think if the Coyotes could keep him around for another season, if they do, hopefully not trade Jacob Chychrun, I think Gostisbehere is a great guy to have in the blue line right now. So it's interesting to see what happens there. Honestly, I'm going to – wearing the shirt, I'm going to say Clayton Keller. Being the guy who absolutely rides on his coattails, I'm going to put Clayton Keller. I think both great players. I would love to see both make it. I think Gostisbehere could end up edging Keller out, but I think Keller's just – he's got a chip on his shoulder this year, and I don't want to get too much in it, like we said. We're going to talk about him here next. But, Melissa, what do you think? Knowing the three on that list, who do you think, if one were to make it, who's your pick to make it?
Yeah, I'm with Matthew. My thought was Gostisbehere as well. To be honest, I'm very impressed with how he's been able to turn his career around. I was not expecting a lot when he was moved to Arizona. I thought, going to a team like Arizona, I didn't know how motivated he would be, you know, things like that. But he's shown, not only is he playing well, but I find he's showing a lot of leadership as well, which I really like, and, you know, positive attitude. And And I think the format of the All-Star game, the 3-on-3, I think it sort of lends well to his game as a, you know, strong puck moving defenseman. I think he'll excel in that more so than Kessel and Keller. So, well, Keller, yes, obviously. Yeah. But I think if you're talking about, you know, the show of the All-Star game, I think Gostisbehere is a good choice.
Yeah, I think that's great there. Think y'all had great insight on both areas. I love Phil Kessel. No hate to you, Phil, but I think you're the odd man out in this situation. I would love to see you there. I think it'd be funny to have you in it, but I think you're the odd man out in this situation. But that's great stuff, y'all. Let's actually stay on the topic of Clayton Keller, which you know I'm all for. So it's no secret this year, as I said, Clayton Keller has been having a stellar season so far. He's earning himself top line minutes. He's really adjusted to a bigger role on Andre Turini's staff. You can definitely tell that he's taken on to this new coach's system, and it's really worked out well for him. But he's also taken a really big leadership role in this team this year, and he's earned himself praise just the other day from veteran Andrew Ladd, who has talked about how he's just really been the voice in the locker room for the team this season. So has Keller's leadership been on display to y'all this season? Have y'all seen it? And also, on side note, some fans have actually been calling for him to be named captain of the team if Jacob Chychrun were to move. What is y'all's initial thoughts on both those? I'll let you go first here, Melissa.
Yeah, it's interesting you brought up the captaincy because I agree. To me, he sort of exudes captaincy. Like and he's become the player that I think everyone hoped he would. Yep. And every team wants a guy like him who plays like him with you know, his, you know, just battling every shift and giving it, 100% every shift, every guy, every team wants that guy on their roster. I mean, he reminds me a little bit of on the Canadians, Brendan Gallagher. It's a bit the same idea. And, you know, he's the type of player that brings his teammates into the fight kind of every night. And yeah, I think I agree with the C thing. I would give it to him like tomorrow if Jacob Chychrun was traded.
I think that's great. I'll let Matthew go here real fast and then I'll throw in what I want to say there. Matthew, what do you think?
Well, I love Clayton Keller and I've loved him ever since he was drafted. He's one of those guys like that Brendan Gallagher type. And those are my types of players. I mean, those guys, Alex Burrows, those hardworking guys that just come to play every night, wear their heart in their sleeves. They're out there working hard every single shift. And, you know, getting praise from Andrew Ladd, that's amazing. I mean, Ladd was the captain in Winnipeg. And I believe, I don't know if he was in Atlanta as well, but I mean,
he was an assistant.
Yeah, assistant, but he's been a leader everywhere he goes. So he knows leadership. He knows what when he sees it. And having a guy like that say that he sees that leadership is huge. And I agree with the captaincy with him. Between him and Chychrun, I'd actually go Keller personally for me. But yeah, he's just keeps growing as a player and hopefully he's here for the long haul. He's not a guy that's going to be on the trade block. I think he's a big part of this core. So huge props to him for what he's done this season and for the future as well.
Yeah, I agree. I think what y'all both said there was, I loved it. Great praise for Clayton Keller. I feel like I've only heard negative things from him since he was drafted. And I think a lot of that has to do with his contract. You know, 2 years into his career, he gets offered a $7 million, 7-year extension in Arizona, and he didn't live up to it right away. He struggled. Fans were saying it was a really bad move, but this year he's really looks like a guy who deserves the $7 million that he's making. He never quits. The game against Nashville, I know Pat would be happy for me to throw this out. He really never quit in the game against Nashville, even when they were down late and it was all but over. He still plays so hard and he's bringing it. He's almost like another version of Connor Garland. I feel like he's really taken a Garland role. He's been that hardworking guy who never quits on the play. He's working every second. It's great to see him do that. You know, it's something that the Coyotes fans have been wanting to see, and I'm glad to see him finally be able to take that breakout role there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But let's take a quick time out here. Please toss us a like, hit subscribe, be sure to comment, and thanks again for watching us. Make sure you check out the other shows on the Hockey Writers Network, Saber Scoop, the Hockey Writers Grindline, Chicks and Sticks, the Hockey Writers, What's Crackin', Blackhawks Banner, Union Junction, and much, much more. Check out the Hockey Writers' newest podcast, Western Centric, as well. That's hosted by yours truly there, Matthew. Also, you can find us on Spotify and you can find us on Apple. Follow us as well on Twitter. Shoot us a comment down below and we'll make sure we answer not only on next week's show, but we will also address it and give you our feedback on it. We're on iHeartRadio and we're on Spotify, and follow us on Twitter at HowlersTHW. Also, make sure that you follow Matthew at MatthewZatorSC and Melissa Boyd Mel as well on Twitter. So, as we come to the back half of our show, let's keep our focus on the team and, most importantly, everyone's favorite and at times least favorite trade rumors. The Elliot Friedman 32 Thoughts podcast Monday morning, he had quite the statement claim to make. He said that an unnamed Eastern Conference executive texted him, betting him a steak dinner, because that's always a great bet, at Coyotes forward Lawson Crouse is a member of the Tampa Bay Lightning by the NHL trade deadline. Friedman also is a trusted source, so there's nothing that you could call out on here, but what do y'all make of this? Could Crouse be dealt by the deadline? We already know the team is kind of willing to move almost anyone for the right price at this point. No one, I think, is really safe. So hypothetically speaking, what do you think the team could get in return for a guy like Lawson Crouse, who's having a breakout season of sorts? Would it be wise to even think of moving the forward during the stellar season that he's having? And Matthew, we'll go with you first here.
I'm going to say yeah. The Arizona Coyotes, I believe that I said that Crouse could be part of that core, but you know, he's one of those guys that could be moved for the right price or the right deal. It definitely is a possibility. It's always a possibility for a team that, you know, teams that are at the bottom of the standings. I mean, it's just the nature of the game. So, I mean, you know, you look at those assets, what you could get for him. He could definitely be worth I don't know if I want to say first round pick. This year is a little different for that. I think teams are going to be really hesitant to move those types of picks this year because of the strength of the draft. So I don't know if first round pick is going to be available. Tampa Bay Lightning, they're, you know, for that rumor, I think the one thing about the Lightning, where are they getting cap space for these moves? I mean, this is insane.
Nikita Kucherov's going on the IR until the playoffs.
So, I mean, it's a little tough to say, but Elliot Friedman saying it. So, I mean, that's a big source, and that's, you know, having him say something with a trade rumor, there's something there. So I definitely see it happening. He could be traded. I'm not sure what type of return, probably a top prospect, if not a first round pick. I'm going to say at least a second, and more. So we'll see what happens. Always going to be interesting to follow. That's for sure.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Real fast, I'll go here. I think if the Coyotes realistically were to move him, which at this point, if we're going off Bill Armstrong's motto of a scorched earth rebuild, I think anybody for the right price is on move on this team. I think Clayton Keller could be moved if the right price were to be reached with the teams. I know that guys like Jacob Chychrun, very likely or not, it might be a while before we see him get moved, if he does in general, just with the Coyotes asking price for him. But Clayton Keller's Lawson Crouse is an interesting subject here. I think he's having a great bounce back season. I think it all has to do with my article. I wrote an article earlier this year about before the season started, him breaking out. I think it had to do with me. I think I'm the reason he's having such a good season this year. So, I think it would really sting Coyotes fans if he left, because I think he's finally kind of turning into that first round pick that the Panthers used on him. But I think if they were to move him, I think they could easily maybe get a second and a prospect out of him. But I'm curious to know what you think here, Melissa. What do you think of the whole Crouse situation?
Yeah, I have to agree with both of you on the return. I was thinking second and a prospect as well. He's also the type of player that playoff teams like. He brings that energy, that size, that. So he's for sure on the list for playoff teams. And like you said, if literally Bill Armstrong is taking calls on everybody. So I think your whole team is going to be in the rumors leading up to March. So, but I heard also heard Boston as a possible destination for him. So that to me is a perfect fit. That to me really makes a lot of sense. Tampa, like, yeah, like Matt said, is like they managed to get players and you have no idea how they do. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if they figured that out and got him. You know, they, you know, they'll probably find a team that has some cap space and broker a three-way deal or some kind of thing. But you never know, like with Tampa, like they're always the wild card in these things. They kind of come up at the last minute and they're like, and you're like, oh, they just snatched, you know, yeah. David Savard, and you're like, okay, yeah. Great.
Vegas is the Western Conference.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Vegas is the Western Conference version of Tampa.
Exactly. You know, it's like you forget that Vegas acquired Jack Eichel. You know, it's like, oh yeah. I think for the right price, and I think there are teams, probably multiple teams, that would offer that second rounder and a prospect. I think for sure.
Yeah, I think that's great insight. I think with the amount of times I've heard Boston involved in Coyotes trade rumors, I think Boston might be our best friends by the end of the season. Hearing that with Jacob Chychrun, I'm hearing with Lawson Krause. There's probably more guys I haven't heard of. They can have Louis Erickson back. I know fans probably don't want to hear that, but they can have Louis if they want to. I'll take a one for one with Jake DeBrusk if they want to make that deal. But that's great stuff, y'all. Let's end the show, and what better way to end our show as usual with another edition of Tankathon 2022. So this week's prospect to watch is Slovak defenseman Simon Nemec. A little background here on Simon Nemec. He's 6'1". He's a 192-pound defenseman. He's considered by many to be a lottery pick. He's a top 10 pick in numerous draft rankings and mock drafts. He's a very smooth skater who can play in all situations and already has significant experience playing against men in Slovak professional leagues. So a little bit more backside here before we get y'all's opinion on him. This kid's been playing the highest level of Slovakian men's hockey since the 2019-2020 season. He currently this year has 14 assists in 24 games this season. He's been ranked as a top 10 pick in 9 scouting reports, and in 5 of those, he's a top 5 pick. So I'm going to give you the floor here first before we go to the prospect guru. What do you think of Simon Nemec?
I was going to say, maybe we should start with the prospect guru. Hopefully I set you up nicely here. Finish us off strong here. It's interesting. When I saw who the prospect was this week, I was kind of happy because actually in Prospect Corner, the most recent Prospect Corner episode, they did a mock draft, and Peter Barachini selected Simon Nemec for the Canadians at 3rd overall in their mock draft. And I really like the way he described him. You more or less did, but I think the fact that he's a right shot defenseman is of great value. We know how valuable they are in the league today. I think the fact that he's, you know, a puck moving defenseman, can provide some offense, skates well, obviously, is the prototype for today's NHL defenseman. So for sure. And we know how much teams value defensemen. You can never have too many. And I think, and just for those reasons, I agree. I don't know if I would put him 3rd. I mean, that's a little high, but although I did understand Peter's logic for Montreal, I think he could go top 5 for sure. High ceiling defenseman, like there's not a lot of teams that are going to pass that up.
I agree. Before we get to you, Matthew, I just want to say I think he's a great player. I've seen a lot of tweets about this kid recently and just about the just records he's shattering over in the Slovak leagues. He's good. He's a great kid. He's got a great shot, and he's a guy that if you were to trade Jacob Chychrun, he could slot in as a Jacob Chychrun. I mean, this kid is – well, I think next year's draft is a lot more loaded. I think this kid is a great shooter. I mean, like you said, Melissa, it's hard to find good right-handed defensemen and even right-handed defensemen in general nowadays. Mm. And I think he checks off a lot of lists for what people want. I don't know necessarily he'd be a 3rd overall pick, but I think he could easily slot in as a top 5, maybe right out of it at a 6 or 7. But – prospect guru himself, Matthew, you have the last word of the show. What do you think of Simone Nemec?
Yeah, hey, there's a lot of you guys just said is true. I mean, he could be that prototypical number one defenseman. He's a right-hand shot, which really increases his value in the, you know, drafts that don't have a lot of high-end guys that are right-hand shots. I mean, like you said, the NHL in general doesn't have a lot of them. So when a guy like that comes up in a draft, you pounce. And there have been rankings that have him second overall. I believe Peter had him second overall in his first ranking. So or maybe this most recent one, I'm not sure. I'm from top of my head, I'm not sure, but I know it was really high. So he's really high on him. Cue his scouting report, because that's a lot of what he did. I'll just put his video up. But you know, he's a great skater, great hockey IQ, probably the top defenseman in this draft. I'm not from, you know, the defensemen that are in here, maybe Juracek is a little, you know, close to him, but he's just one of those guys that you need on your back end to succeed in the NHL today. And I think if Montreal is in that position to draft him, they definitely should look at him. There's going to be a lot of teams are going to look at him in the draft. So Arizona could be one of them. So he's definitely a guy that is going to get a lot of eyes when the draft comes up later on.
I agree. I think that's I think y'all gave me all the great insight. I think everybody that watches the Coyotes fan should be excited of Simone Nemec if he is available and he is picked by the team. I think he's got a great future ahead of him. But that is our show. Thank you so much for sticking around with us and watching me struggle to get through another hosting session of hosting this show. Don't forget to like, subscribe, comment, and follow us on Twitter. Once again, at Howlers THW. Thank you as well to both you, Matthew, and you, Melissa, for joining me. Make sure that y'all give them a follow as well on Twitter. And as always, thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you next time. Cheers.
Cheers.